This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of Issues of the Environment. I'm David Fair, and today we're going to explore viral infections as spread from animals and insects to human beings. Obviously, we're in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic, but there are others out there, around the world and here at home, and there's the potential for many more. My guest this morning is Dr. Joseph Eisenberg. Dr. Eisenberg is the chair and professor of epidemiology in the School of Public Health at the University of Michigan, and thank you so much for the time today.
Thanks for the opportunity to talk.
There still seems to be some debate as to where COVID-19 virus came from. Are you on board with the wet markets as the root of the pandemic?
Yeah, that does seem like where most of the evidence is pointing towards, and it is consistent with other emerging pathogens that have occurred in that same venue.
When infectious disease spreads from animals or even insects to humans, it's called zoonosis, right?
Yes.
Is it true that more often than not, the pathogens that cause the illness in humans do not affect the carriers?
That's not always true, but that's often the case, yeah.
If these infections are not impacting the animals or the carriers, is there something to be learned from their immunity to the illness that we might be able to take and apply to human treatments?
Good question. I think that often what happens is because animals, and we're humans and other animals, are always interacting with different species, that there is what we call the spillover event. So a pathogen that evolves a relationship with a given species often evolves toward a more benign, less pathogenic kind of relationship. You know, the pathogen wants to maximize transmission. That's how it persists. And it does so often in kind of minimizing pathology. So it's when we get these spillover events into other species and is when you get the stronger pathology and the more virulent strain, so that it's happening with Ebola. You know, it even happened with a lot of, you know, early on pathogens that what we call our childhood diseases, which came from mostly from agricultural interactions, that then became strictly human transmitted pathogens and evolved to be less virulent. Things like measles, even polio, where most of the cases are asymptomatic and mild, and then you have the severe paralytic cases that often happen when you're older, actually. So if you get the polio when you're younger, it's a very mild disease. And when you get it older is when you increase your chances of paralytic polio.
This is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. We're talking with Dr. Joseph Eisenberg. He's chair of epidemiology and a professor in the U of M School of Public Health. So how pervasive are zoonosis infection diseases globally?
They might be the majority of the pathogens that we think of. And it's hard to have a strict definition. There's the gray zone. Foodborne illnesses, which are, you would call them zoonoses, but they also move from human to human. There's lots of E. coli pathogens, for instance, that often originate from animals, but then move from person to person also. You know, HIV would be an example. Well, is it a zoonosis? Well, it was a zoonosis. It came from primates to humans, but now it's strictly human to human. Then there's other pathogens like Cryptosporidium, where it came from agricultural, it's a protozoan pathogen, came from cattle and livestock to humans. But now there's actually both a bovine version of Cryptosporidium and a human version of Cryptosporidium. And so, you know, the human version is just transmitted human to human.
So would we include things like West Nile virus and Lyme disease on this list as well?
So, yeah, so West Nile and Lyme disease are specific kinds of zoonoses where humans are dead-end hosts. That is, humans cannot transmit it to other humans. And so West Nile is transmitted via birds. It's bird-to-bird, but it's vector-borne, so it's mosquito-transmitted. Occasionally, the mosquito that bites a human will cause an infection and a pathology, but then the human cannot infect the mosquito again. So the humans are a dead-end host. Same with Lyme disease. It's transmitted through ticks, via deer, mice, and that's an interesting case in which humans, as they decided through suburban activity to encroach into forested areas, is where Lyme disease emerged as a major pathogen in humans. Again, a dead-end host because ticks cannot get infected by feeding off of humans.
And I want to get to our human encroachment on habitat in a moment, but I do want to bring this up. The U.S. Agency for International Development's PREDICT program suggests that there are over 1.6 million unknown viruses in birds and mammals. So why haven't we seen more global pandemics to this point?
Well, the thing is, and that's an interesting case, where a virus or a pathogen that's evolved to infect hosts of a given species. So the transmission has evolved for many, 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 many years. When you get a spillover event into another species, it doesn't necessarily have the attributes to go from person to person of that species or host to host of that species. So you get these spillover events into humans all the time. Avian flu would be an example. But the virus had evolved to transmit from birds to birds and not from humans to humans. Occasionally, and really very occasionally, when a viral strain spills over to humans, it does have the ability to amplify and multiply in the human to then be transmitted. With coronavirus, we're talking person-to-person, droplet transmission. With some of the vector-borne diseases, you're talking about it going from host to vector, mosquito, back to the host again. But it's relatively rare in the scheme of things of how often it happens that a spillover event results in the ability for the new host to then transmit it from host to host.
Our conversation with Dr. Joseph Eisenberg continues on WEMU's Issues of the Environment. Clearly, through the course of human history, there has been human and animal overlap. So has this always been a part of kind of the ecology of life on the planet?
It has. You know, as density increased, it became a bigger deal, and it became an environment in which pathogens were able to exploit that increased density. Agriculture was a huge, you know, innovation that, you know, allowed for increased connection with animals in a very much more intimate way than, let's say, wild animals. Agriculture has been the cause of many of our pathogens that are in humans right now. And that are endemic because of that much more intimate contact with livestock than we would have with wild animals. But then there's now increasing examples of encroachment into forests, and that's primarily the reason why we've seen the spillover of not just a disease like HIV, but also Ebola and many other of these viral hemorrhagic fevers that we're seeing around the world.
Well, and as you have alluded to, the planet is more heavily populated than at any time in history, and it will only continue to grow. Is this going to become more prevalent?
I think that we're going to be seeing, we have been seeing different emergence of different pathogens, so West Nile, coli 0157. Whether or not we see an emergence of a pathogen like coronavirus more often, that remains to be seen. You know, that largely seem to be coming from these wet markets, as we talked about before. SARS was another relatively recent example that really didn't persist. It was one pandemic, and then it dropped off and died out. MERS was another example that really didn't persist. So coronavirus, for some reason, you know, was the perfect storm. It was not too virulent, but virulent enough. It was not so transmissible, but transmissible enough. And also its ability to be transmitted through a droplet, so casual contact, as opposed to West Nile, which requires the mosquito, or HIV, which was sexually transmitted, or Zika was also a mosquito. So this sort of perfect storm combination has really dramatically affected our society in a way that, you know, hasn't been since the 1918 pandemic of the influenza. So I'm not so sure. I don't know if anybody could predict that this kind of impact will be increasing in numbers, but clearly emerging pathogens because of our density and because of our agriculture is something that is just part of our ecology.
From anybody's perspective, we were completely unprepared for coronavirus. What can we learn from this situation as we know it today to better protect ourselves both globally and locally from such incidents in the future?
I actually really think it's just basic, good public health surveillance. That is what we were lacking. a good and good public health infrastructure. We tend not to invest very heavily in public health. We tend to invest much more in high-tech medicine and treatment and sort of more dramatic technology and innovations, whereas what we do in public health has a much more dramatic effect on society and the economy. But if history is any example, we'll revert back to, not paying that much attention to public health. But I think that is the critical piece right now, is our ability to have a good public health infrastructure, to be able to have good, solid surveillance so that we know when something is emerging. The moment we see clusters of a set of cases, if we can actually intervene quickly, we're able to actually contain the spread of these kinds of pathogens pretty effectively. But we need that investment in public health.
I'd like to thank you very much for the time and for sharing the information today.
Thank you.
That is Dr. Joseph Eisenberg. He is chair of epidemiology and a professor in the U of M School of Public Health and our guest for Issues of the Environment. This weekly feature is produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner, and you hear it each Wednesday. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.